Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Rosecast. Thank you for listening. Got some special holiday edition episodes for you. Bonus episodes, I'll call them. It's holidays, AB. People forget that. Snuck
what,
up on me.
What makes these bonus?
They're not really. They're regular.
And scheduled. In
fact, yeah, they're scheduled. We told you about the schedule. These are not surprise. These are nothing special. If you haven't listened in a while, welcome back, but also shame on you. We are recapping Emily's season of The Bachelorette, sort of in an effort to get to know Ari, the next Bachelor, but mostly to talk about how great Sean is.
Mm-hmm. And how cool Jeff is.
And how cool Jeff is. That's also Greg. So Ari's like third or fourth most important, well, definitely fourth most important behind Emily, third or fourth most important contestant on the list, at least. AB, we're talking about episode 3 today. Any general observations, anything you want to get off your chest before we get started?
Emily's got a lot of duds, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'll agree to disagree. All right, well, in that case, let's get to going. All right, AB, we start at the house. I'm just going to ignore that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sound and act like it's a normal thing we do. It's not. The boys are out in the courtyard in Charlotte. Chris Harrison comes in, "Sup, fellas," his catchphrase. We got one individual date and two group dates this week. And contestant Chris gets the one-on-one date, AB. Whenever I see Chris, it makes me think, like, I can't believe we're 6 years older than most of these guys. And yep. Not only that, like in 2012 when this was airing, I was older than Chris. Doesn't Chris seem, well, I've always been older than Chris, I suppose. Doesn't Chris seem older than you right now? Or is that just me being immature because I still like beer pong?
People, I tell you what, TV always makes people look older than they are. I don't know what it is, but yeah, Chris seems like I'm 5 years younger than Chris. I'll put it that way.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
I know his age, but I still feel like I'm 5 years younger than him.
Do you think it, well, you have a natural young look to you. Mm-hmm. You could be anywhere from 25 to 35 age-wise. Do you think hot people just look older in general?
It could be.
I think hot people look older. Let us know on the RAB stall while I look up the text line like I do every episode. Let me go ahead and get this text line number called up. Here's the quick poll of the day. Do hot people look older? If you think so or if you don't, the text, the Rosecast text line, 773-234-7794. Wow, shout out to me for remembering that off the top of my head. All right, AB, Chris, one-on-one. No daytime portion. Were you surprised by this? They went straight to the nighttime.
Yeah, a little bit. A little surprised.
You didn't notice it, did you? You
no.
didn't realize
See,
it.
you heard that pause. See, here's the thing when it's not a full, you know, we're not doing the full recaps of everything. I'm skimming through shit. If it's a guy I don't like, I don't pay much attention. Yeah. I mean, I'm here for Jeff, Sean, and Ari. And Emily. Yep. That's it.
All right. Well, should I scrap these notes about Chris? Because I got some good notes
no,
on
go
Chris.
Ahead.
All right. Well, I'll fly through them. How about that? Emily mentions how excited. Anyway, they're walking around downtown Charlotte. Emily's like, I'm so excited for this date, mostly because Chris is good looking.
Yeah.
Probably because she is still under the illusion that he's 30 plus because of the way he looks and acts.
Let me Let me tell you when I actually checked out of this date. It was close to the beginning of it, and they're just walking around, small talk, and he comes with, "Weather can't be better, right?" All right. Well, we're done here. The romance isn't there with these two. I mean, we're just. What are we doing here? Just end this date. Send Chris home.
Well, first off, the weather was abysmal. There was an impending lightning storm. if you can't feel when a storm, I'll put it this way: you're too young to get married if you can't feel when a storm's coming. You know what I mean? That's my take on marriage. I'm single, by the way. Turns out they're not just walking around. They're going to a big fancy rooftop restaurant. But there's a twist, folks. They're going to have to climb to get to their dinner date. AB, what do you think of this idea? I'm in.
I like it. You build a big time bond with someone when you do something that makes you both uncomfortable.
But was it uncomfortable though, AB? Because once they started climbing, it was pretty clear that they were just mostly being pulled up. They were just being yanked up by somebody up top. They didn't put their feet on the thing. They didn't have to do any pulling. They were just like, "Oh, I'm so scared," getting like bobbed up and down.
I hear you.
Would you do that?
Sure.
Okay, not me.
ABC. I trust ABC.
No. Yeah, that's true. If I were confronted with this situation, I would know that I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
But mostly I'd be afraid of, and this is serious, of like peeing my pants. For real. I would pee my pants if I did that. I don't want to just douse the good people of Charlotte, the nice down-home people of Charlotte. I don't want to douse them my urine. That's just me being like thinking of other people, being selfless.
And a coward.
And a coward. But first selfless, then cowardice. Anyway, they get to the top. Big shocker. Chris naturally wanted to kiss Emily after their little adventure.
Chris is too into the too forward with wanting to get kisses. I don't know what you thought. He kept talking about the kiss.
Sign of immaturity. Not only is it a sign of immaturity to be like, "Oh man, this is when we should kiss." To not do it is also, you want to talk about cowardice, Chris. Chris, it's not your decision. That wasn't your decision for the kiss to not go down. He's like, "I should have kissed her." I'm like, "Chris, it's pretty clear she wanted nothing to do with it. You know, you're talking arm's length away. Look up body language for me one time." These are things 25-year-olds might not know. He's one of them.
Yeah.
All right, dinner time. Emily seems surprised that he's only 25. Red flag. Emily has a daughter, AB. People forget that.
Yeah, I mean, she was stunned like we were stunned. I had no clue this man was 25.
So at this point, you were out on this date when he was talking about the weather. That, for me, when she was surprised by learning that he was 25, was like, "Oh, okay, well, we're done here." Like, she's not. There's no way she's going to choose a 25-year-old.
Here's the thing. Isn't she 26, though?
Yes, but she's 26 who had a kid at, like, 18. She's not a normal 26-year-old.
True, but I feel like you can't have that as a – that can't be a deal-breaker for you if you're 26, even though you are a mature 26.
Yeah, good call. Pretend I didn't say that. All right, so that's the first part of the one-on-one date. Quick back at the house. Tony with the kid. That's who I call him, Tony with the kid. Calls his son. AB, you have a daughter. It seemed like the son didn't really miss him that much when he was on the phone. He's like, "Yeah, anyway," like it was like, "I gotta go." It's like the way I talk to my dad on the phone.
It seemed like, it seems like it was a big inconvenience for the kid to have to talk to Tony on the phone for the first time in a week.
Stop calling.
I don't understand why this had any impact on Tony. he was acting like the son missed him and he needed to get home to be with him. It's like, nah, the son could go months and months and months without seeing you and he'd be fine.
He has no idea what's going on. He's not old enough to comprehend what you're doing. Anyway, date card, group date, Charlie, Alejandro. How dumb are we? This is the third episode, and we haven't been doing the Lady Gaga Alejandro drop. I don't even have it now. We can't play it. I'll add it in, but I don't have it. Charlie, Alejandro, Stevie, Ryan. That's what the song's called, right? I'm not making that up.
I don't think so.
I think it's Alejandro,
but they definitely...
Ryan, Alessandro, Sean, John, Michael, Doug, Jeff, Tony, Travis.
Okay, it is called Alejandro, yeah. Alejandro.
Ooh, here we go.
You got it.
A couple of pop culture guys back at the date. Chris, he senses this age thing is a big negative for Emily. So he's trying to convey that he's a big adult man. Family comes first to me. I'm at the point in life where I've experienced a lot. What exactly? We're not sure. But he sweet talks her and she loves it. Oh, here's the answer to your question, AB, that Emily's only 26. What's the big deal? She's never dated anyone younger than herself.
Okay.
A little fun fact I'm sure you missed.
Fun. That's fun. Yeah, I missed
your facial reaction. Okay. But she really likes Chris, gives him the rose anyway. What's your take on Chris? For some reason, I don't like him. At this point, he seems like a nice guy, but I don't know. I don't like his face. I don't like his voice.
I don't know what it is about the guy, but I don't like the man.
I don't like Chris. I don't fuck with Chris. Like, Chris is one of those guys that if I met in real life, if someone, a mutual friend or mutual acquaintance introduced me to Chris, I'd be like, all right, I don't fucking like that guy. Like, I'd shake his hand and go, I don't like him, and never be friends with him. Ever.
And really for no reason.
No reason at all. That's a me problem. I'm describing a flaw in my character. There's nothing wrong with Chris at this point. AB, well, it's not a bachelor day, especially in the high south, whatever they call the north part of the south. Unless you dance alone at a country concert, AB. Luke Bryan. How big of a deal was Luke Bryan in 2012? Do you remember?
I feel like based on that he was on this, not that big, but he's big now, Rim. That's
he's
for
huge.
The haters. He's huge. Hey, Luke Bryan's what's good right now.
Every now and then, I find myself being like, man, I fuck with country music heavy.
Yeah. I don't know many country songs, but that was my jam. And I don't know what it's called.
That's my jam.
I don't know what he was playing, but I know I've heard it before, and I know that's my shit.
Okay. I'm about to try and sing the song with a couple lyrics, but I'm going to do it to the tune of another country song I know that is a little different. The radio on and cruise. I'm going to sing it to that one because that's the only one I know. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. I know that song.
I know that song. That's my shit. I know both songs you're talking about, and I love them both. Girl, you make my speakers
go boom, boom. All right, kiss alert. That's right, AB. We got the first kiss of the season. Now, I'm already through episode 4, so this is old news to me. There's been a spoiler alert, there's been 100 since this one. Chris asked politely. Emily obliged. The kiss went down in front of everyone in Charlotte. She didn't seem super into it, though. I got to say, not much effort on her part. What's the old Hitch rule, AB? Your favorite movie of all time, Hitch?
You go 90%, Rim. Everyone knows that.
And then she goes 10.
She goes the 10. You never go 100, Chris.
Yeah. He went 100, and when he got there, he found a statue. Just a statue looking up. Like, <"Ugh." laughs> Wasn't into it.
Stone-faced him.
I know you. It sounds like you didn't really pay much attention to this date. What did you think of this date? The climb, the dinner, the Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan was big. Luke Bryan was big. It took my breath away when I saw him out there. Wasn't expecting it. I imagine he was not big back in the day, though.
He couldn't have been. I mean, if you had Luke Bryan, there like weren't that many people out in the streets. There's like a couple dozen people there. I'm like, this was for real Luke Bryan, big time Luke Bryan. The place would be people hanging from the rafters.
And I'll give it, it's a good date just because of Luke Bryan. The rest of it's trash, though.
Yeah, Chris was the worst part. All right, let's move along. We're going to try and keep these under 40 minutes. That's the goal. Mostly because we know this show is 5 years old. Also because I don't want to. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead and extend the episode with more unnecessary comments.
I had a note here. I forgot. This is the one part I chuckled about with Chris on his date. He's talking about how he's young, but he's old enough. He goes, I know I'm young, but I'm a man.
Yeah, he said it like that too.
It reminded me of that fucking Oklahoma State coach. When he's, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Mike Gundy. Gundy is the man. I'm going to put that drop in here. There's a lot of that going on this season of like, who's the manliest? It's a lot different than it is now.
It is, yeah. Yep.
All right, let's go to the group date. Daytime. Emily's got a football and a French braid. What's up, Emily? But they're not here to just toss the pigskin, AB.
Nope.
Emily brought her girls along. Nothing off limits. What'd you make of her girlfriend group?
One of them, the one, the fake ass Chelsea Handler, that one, she...
Are you talking about Wendy? Far. I don't know
yeah,
which
I'm
one
talking
you're talking
Wendy,
about.
Yeah, I'm talking about Wendy, fake ass Chelsea Handler.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of older, crass.
Too crass. Too yeah. crass.
Yeah. This was the best day of Wendy's life.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're rifling through the different dudes. They're asking questions like, what made you choose to go on this show? In the tone of like, this is so dumb. Why are you doing this? which I appreciate. Next thing you know, we got Stevie popping, locking.
Okay, Stevie embarrassing himself.
I mean, shout out to him for having confidence about it, because I wouldn't have confidence to do what Stevie does.
Would you consider him even a good dancer?
He wasn't special. I mean, he's probably like, I don't know, he's probably like 10,000 guys from his town who didn't get on Jersey Shore that season. Like, there's, can we agree that the fact that Stevie's on The Bachelorette and is from where he's from confirms that he tried out, he sent in a tape to Jersey Shore and was rejected? There's no doubt about that, right? Has to be.
That's clear.
But he's not Guido enough. He's too regular of a guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, here comes Sean, the man of the hour.
You know what I noted about Sean? It was a transition period in men's fashion rim back in this day between cargo shorts and non-cargo shorts. So you had about half the guys wearing these dog shit huge cargo shorts, and then you had fucking cool, sexy Sean and Jeff walking around. I don't think they even had pockets for their... I don't even think they had the normal pockets on them, let alone cargo pockets.
Okay, so what you're describing is boxers, but Jeff definitely dressed in 2012 like what everybody dresses now, with the short shorts like 2 inches above the knee type of thing. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And Stevie, if he's Stevie was 5 years behind, Jeff was 5 years ahead of the game. Yep. Fashion-wise. Anyway, Sean said he wasn't going to take his shirt off, but he took his shirt off, and the shit really got going at that point, AB.
Wendy caught some feelings for him. I don't know if he caught that.
I was going to say, no, I have get Wendy out of here. I'd say this is borderline sexual harassment, what she's doing to Sean. He doesn't want you to – you're forcing him to do things with his body that he doesn't want to do. That's the definition, right?
Flat out.
Anyway, second part of this date. So if Wendy, I'd say there's a decent chance Wendy listens to this podcast just based on the demographics I've seen for the show. Decent chance. So Wendy, we're sorry, but you acted inappropriately and you should be ashamed. Second part of this date is just Emily unleashing a bunch of kids on everybody, which is just not at all what these guys signed up for.
No.
Unfortunately, they didn't show anybody being shitty around kids. I really hope there was like a guy who like sucked with kids, but they didn't show any of that. What do you got on this portion of the date, AB?
I didn't get a lot from it. Like you said, they didn't really show anyone not being good with kids. They all seemed pretty good in the forced situation.
It speaks to, I think, this is just a good group of guys. There's, you know, the villains aren't that villainous. There's not that many of them. This was before you could make a bunch of money on Instagram. So there really are not, like, the going on the show for fame, I think, is a lot more prevalent now than it was 5 years ago. I really do. They're just good guys. Like, Stevie's not out here. Like, Stevie's just trying to help his little small business he's got going in New Jersey. Stevie's not trying to get a million followers.
I mean, Stevie's embarrassing himself often on the show, but he's not. There's no harm to what he's doing.
Means well. Play with the kids. A little bit of Ryan controversy. The first hint of Ryan being a true asshole.
Hey, Rim.
Oh, you question. Oh, disagree?
I can't tell if I hate Ryan or like Ryan. I don't know.
You will be definitively on one side one episode.
Okay, well, I'm going to hate him.
I think I know where he's going. Anyway, for some reason, Ryan leaves the kids to go talk with Emily and her girlfriend. It's not the worst move in the world. Like, this is one of those things that it all depends on how you feel about the person. Like, if Sean did this, I'd be like, cool, man, Sean's awesome.
Whoa, Sean's the man.
But Ryan did it, and it was like, Ryan probably hates kids. What a jerk. For some reason, he says it's not okay for Emily to get fat.
Why did he say that?
And he said it like, well, yeah, of course not. Like, what do you mean?
Like, wouldn't you get mad if I got that?
Yeah. Man, that was he didn't word that very eloquently, as if there is an eloquent way to word it, and Emily's friends did not find it amusing. Emily's friends, when asked by Emily who stood out, it was a lot of Sean's, a lot of Doug's. One woman said Ryan moments after Ryan walked away after telling Emily she couldn't get fat. So I think she was just blinded by his body. I don't know. Were women attracted to that hairstyle in 2012? I mean, that's not a good haircut in any era.
I was also confused. I'm not sure if I think Ryan's good looking or not either. That was another thing I was confused by. And I think a lot of it has to do with his hair.
He's
in an in-between stage of like going long and being short. So I don't understand what's going on with it.
And it looks like he's been microwaved. That's another issue I have with it. It's not thick enough to really be impressive up there. It's just like, oh, it looks like something's wrong more than something's right. Anyway, group date, nighttime. I say we just skip this part and go straight back to the house. I bring this part up because, one, not only does Ari get the date card, but two, he followed it up with some very shitty puns. I'm going to rattle them off for you, AB, and I need you to audibly express how you feel about these. I'm going to say them like he said them because he was basically reading them. These weren't off the dome. I'm a race car driver, and I'm used to things moving pretty fast. So far, things have been moving very slow with Emily, and hopefully tomorrow it revs things up.
It revs things up, Rim.
He's talking about making out, I'm pretty sure. Based on the date card copy, which I did not write down, one of the guys asks, well, hopefully it's something to do with racing, right? Could you drive a stick shift? What do you think?
You ever heard a fucking dumber question, Rim, in your entire life? Ever in your life have you heard a dumber question?
No, honestly, no.
He's a fucking race car driver of
IndyCar.
You ever driven a car before?
IndyCar. Indy 500.
He would drive circles around you, bud.
He's in the top 0.001% of drivers in the world.
That'd be like if there was a fucking ex-NBA 6'8 guy on there and someone's like, you ever dunk a basketball before?
Can you dribble left-handed?
He's a 6'8 guy.
You ever dunk a basketball?
Come on.
Yeah, it's Larry Johnson, Grandmama from the Charlotte Hornets. Shattered backboards when he was 19. All right, we could do that all day. Back on the date. You want to talk about Tony? I want to talk about Tony real quick.
I'll talk about Tony.
Tony's one-on-one time with Emily was spent talking about how he can barely handle being away from his 5-year-old son. Now, you'd think that Emily would be a good person to get sympathy from here, because Emily had a daughter when she was on The Bachelor, and she has a daughter right now. But it doesn't seem like she has much sympathy for Tony. She's like, yeah, I mean, Tony, I've done this. I think Tony thought he was going to curry a lot of favor with Emily, but instead Emily was like, you're being kind of a coward. Like, you're being kind of a wuss about this.
Yeah, you're being a wuss. I mean, here's the thing, Rim. I love my daughter a lot.
Sure.
More than life itself.
Yeah.
But, like, if I was in when we go on, like, a vacation or something and she's away, like, yeah, sure. I sometimes feel, you know, I miss her. But it's not like a debilitating missing her situation where I can't function.
Like, you know you're going to see her again in
short
order.
Yeah, I know I'm going to see her. I know I'm going to. Like, it might cross my mind where I'm like, damn, I kind of miss her a little bit. And then I go back to doing the fun shit that I'm doing without her. And I'm having an awesome time. And I don't think another thing about it.
You can only do once a year. And you're just relishing this great
time.
You're
in a once-in-a-lifetime situation here, Tony. A couple weeks. Obviously, you're not going to make it very far, and everyone knows that, but just live your life, bud.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. You call him every 5 minutes.
It's okay to miss him, but you can't let it stop. Like, you're obviously, he's regretting this to this day.
Absolutely.
He wakes up every morning and thinks about how he blew it.
My thing is, if you want to meet a woman, and you can't stand to leave your son at all, maybe go on the internet instead of competing with 30 other guys.
Why'd you come on here?
Figure out like more avenues more conducive to your life than going on The Bachelorette. Just my take. I don't know. I don't have a kid.
It's interesting because I've ripped people in the past for even going on the show. And then this guy goes on the show, but then can't
handle it, and I'm ripping him too. So I don't really know where I stand anymore.
No, I don't know either. but I know one thing. No matter what side we're coming from, it's funny, and that's why we do it. Thanks for listening to the Rosecast.
Once you're there, you might as well make the most of it.
Commit to it. How about this? Once you're there, commit to it. Don't be a coward about it. And two, don't be super defensive about, oh, I am a good parent though. Because then that just tells me that you're questioning it, and you're probably not there for the right, to truly find love. Mm-hmm. Like, as when Amanda goes on Bachelor in Paradise and she says, I want to be on the celebrity Tinder, we're going to fucking rip you to shreds for that. That's just the way it is. But when Tony put on that big show and then still didn't leave AB, I had had about enough of that sob story.
Yeah.
Emily pulls him aside, but she didn't pull him aside like in a concerned way. She did it in a more like a teacher dealing with a problem student. Like, okay, Tony, let's just go over here real quick. She's going to handle this business, send his ass home. And she did so with a pleasant speech. At least she said, I would never be able to forgive myself if I kept you longer and still, you know, it didn't work out. I had a little light go on here, AB. Obviously, this is the playbook that Rachel studied when she sent Kenny home, which I didn't think about at the time. I gave Rachel a lot of props, but she basically just copied this speech.
Sure.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Anyway, Tony, your plan backfired big time, bud. Big time. He went into that date thinking, I'm going to really connect with her, talking about how much I miss my son, and thinking he'd get the group date rose. Tony thought he was going to get the group date rose when he put on this whole show, and he did not. Went home in a van. Sean got the rose. Shout out to Sean. Anyway, let's keep it moving to Ari's one-on-one date. They take a private jet to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Dollywood. AB, I feel like Dolly Parton is like one of those things you have in your background that you like secretly know a lot about. Like you grew up in a big Dolly Parton house.
No. I do have a lot of things like that in my life. Just random things that I know a lot about.
That you never told anyone.
I've never told anyone. But Dolly Parton's not one of them. In fact, I wrote down when I was looking at it, country is just so interesting in that you have these super, super famous people. And then I can't name anything that they've done.
No.
Like, there's no other thing in the world where there's someone that she has her own fucking amusement park, and I can't tell you a thing that Dolly Parton has done. But I think she's a singer. I don't know what song she sings. Couldn't name a song. I don't know. I mean, she's basically Michael Jackson of
she's
country
yes.
music, right?
Yes. Yes. I'd say she's Michael Jackson of country music.
And I can't tell you a thing about her.
Nope. Can't tell you any of her songs. I obviously recognize her. Do you know her net worth, AB?
50 million.
500 million.
500. Oh, dang, that Dolly money, baby.
Okay, that Dollywood okay.
That Dolly money, baby. Get your Whoa. Paper right, Dolly. Whoa.
Don't Whoa. Hey, listen, this might offend some people. This might offend some people, but I feel like it also has something to do with the fact that maybe like country music fans like buy physical albums still.
So Dolly Parton releases an anthology and everybody pays $30 for it.
But yeah, $500 million.
Holy
cow. I
put
down a Dolly Parton Wikipedia hole, and if you want to talk about it, just let me know. But we got to keep it moving. $500 million. That's like probably three times as much as George Clooney.
Unreal. And don't know a thing about her.
Don't know nothing. Anyway, we're going to get ripped. I'm certain obviously, we have a lot of Dolly Parton fans. Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to get ripped. Listen, we can't fake it. We don't know the girl. I don't know what to tell you.
Anyway, they're in the theater after sometime in the amusement park, and they need to write a love song together. Kind of cute.
Sure.
Not really. Fine. It's okay. What'd you make of Emily's reaction when Dolly came out?
Wow.
Behind the curtain, AB.
She's
genuine.
Freaking out. I mean, she's acting like if fucking LeBron showed up in front of Rim and AB. The same
or
reaction.
Like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
She had a Michael Jackson fan reaction, like the biggest Michael Jackson fan of all time. She was fainted. Personal concert from Dolly Parton. Well, you've kind of spoken to it, but even we know that's a big fucking deal. That's a BFD to get that personal concert from Dolly Parton.
All that being said, she probably should have expected Dolly Parton to be there.
She shouldn't have been that shocked.
She was way too stunned for the situation. You're at Dollywood.
And there's nobody here. Dolly lives like probably in this amusement park somewhere. Yeah. I'd say if I were her, I would have been disappointed to have not seen Dolly Parton.
Absolutely.
Honestly. Side note, the fact that Dolly Parton wrote a song about a one-on-one date for the Bachelorette franchise, and it sounds just as good as any country song ever, just goes to show you that the genre is mostly trash, right? I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but Dolly Parton wrote a song about Emily and Ari, and it was like the best country song of all time, all right? Like, take a step back and look at your genre.
It's very offensive.
I'm just saying. It's the same shit over and over again. Anyway, the private concert, to me, I feel like probably gave Ari a huge boost, because basically one of the happiest moments of Emily's life is forever associated with Ari. What do you think, AB?
Yeah, this is something the other guys cannot compete. I mean, Ryan did her everyday life of like going to a soccer game, and then Ari, they met her idol, and she sang her a personalized song. You can't top that.
Yeah, good comparison. I forgot about that soccer date already. Ryan kind of turns a corner, AB, and you forget nice guy Ryan from episode one. Just a fair warning. All right, the nighttime date with Emily and Ari. They're still at Dollywood. What did you make of this kind of interesting conversation here, AB? Emily asks Ari about the woman he dated prior to her, and this woman had two children. It almost seemed to match up too closely with Ari's situation with Emily.
I thought it was a good look for Ari. You know, the girl that he was with had multiple kids, and he fell for the kids, just like he would fall for Emily's daughter. And he also made it known that he was ready for kids, but the other lady wasn't, and that was a deal breaker. So that's a huge deal for Emily, I feel like.
Obviously, that's what Ari wanted to sell, was that he fell in love with the kid. That's a good
Rim's not buying it.
I'm just saying that's what he wanted to accentuate.
I'm buying it.
I don't know if I'm buying it, but that's what he wanted to get off for sure, and he did. Here's the crazy thing. She, not only did this ex-girlfriend not want children, he reminded her too much of her ex-husband because of racing. Mm-hmm. Now, call me a scumbag. Basically, Ari stole his friend's wife. Is that what I'm assuming here? Is that what
happened?
It crossed my mind. I'm not willing to commit to that, but it crossed my mind when they said it.
No, that's slander, and we don't partake in that stuff, but I'll just throw it out there. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. It was 100% people that were all in the same like inner circle, and Ari stole her away from someone. That's a fact.
Well, what do you mean? You just said what you said you wouldn't say. We don't know if he stole
her. You said his best friend's wife. I don't know about that, but it was in the same racing community.
But we don't know necessarily if he stole her. Like, maybe the marriage dissolved, and then she, having a lot of mutual friends in the racing community, was like, her friends were like, hey, maybe the other wives are like, hey, check out Ari, hot young guy, up and coming, can drive a stick shift, that kind of thing. Anyway, AB, I thought he did good on this date. What did you think before we go to the carousel? We'll describe the carousel in detail.
I thought he did a really good job.
The carousel, it gets steamy, AB.
Whoa.
The kissing
I had written down that he didn't get a smooch at the end of dinner. I wasn't anticipating. Yep. And then they cut to him with a full-on makeout session on the carousel.
There was some chatter after he was selected as the bachelor that people were saying, oh, he's the best kisser, he's the best kisser. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, how can you be that much better than everybody else? You know what I mean? Folks, he is. It's like a movie when this guy puts the moves on, all right?
Incredible.
All right, last couple minutes here. They go to the cocktail party. Emily pulls Kaylin aside first, and he goes, this is Kaylin. Gentlemen, hold down the fort. He's always got to get in like a remark to the boys, like, yeah.
And they are his boys. That's the best part.
And you know, all these lines are planned too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you look like you're having a little party down here. I saw it from above. I'll tell you what, for a guy who came in on a helicopter, Kaylin's been like nowhere to be found. I mean, what a disappointing performance from this guy.
Yeah. It's not getting much. He didn't even have a date this week.
Well, here's the next thing Kaylin says. Thanks to you, I've had the week off this week. All right.
Ooh, okay. Ooh,
okay.
I'd stop there, but
maybe pump the brakes. Said, I really took it personally when I didn't get a date this week. I've never had to share much in my life. Well, can we go ahead and say that Kaylin's an only child?
Silver spoon in his mouth.
Silver spoon.
Born with it in his mouth.
Richie Rich. And he says to share these guys, share this with you. It's not that funny.
Listen, that's who he is Richie Rich.
That Richie Rich movie with Macaulay Culkin. Underrated
S movie.
Underrated child film from the 90s.
It really is.
Then comes the kids talk, AB. We've known this was going to happen since last week when Kaylin got into a confrontation with Doug. Doug, I have kids, okay? Smith. That's his middle name. Listen, I got a kid. Emily asks Kaylin about her being a mom, and Kaylin's response is this. I always believed that my first child would be one of my own. It says that's not how he dreamt it would be. And Emily then says, think about your mom. What if she met the love of her life and he said, you know what? I want my first kid to be my own. Apparently Kaylin is... his mother was a single mother at some point. So at that point, that deserves a valid, you know, response to Emily's question. But Kaylin says, and I'm going to put this drop in here. He says, I love when you talk, but I wish you'd let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, AB, at that point, Kaylin's got to go home, like right there, right? Like he can't possibly get a rose.
Yeah, that's
right?
Some disrespectful shit I've ever heard.
Maybe the rudest thing ever said on this show. I love when you talk, but let me finish. I mean, in the real world, that gives you a smack upside the head, AB.
Absolutely. That means that you didn't let him finish, Rim. I think what he was saying was it wasn't how he dreamed it up, but there was a big but coming, and she didn't let him get to that after. But that being said, he's a douchebag, and he needs to go home.
That's fair enough. What did you... All right, now, you're an ostrich guy. For people who didn't listen to the first episode of this miniseries, AB's a secret ostrich guy. Travis still has the egg. This is the only way he can get on screen time, basically, is to smash the egg. That's the only way to guarantee screen time for this guy. Emily's friend said he needs to get rid of the egg. They smash it in the driveway, AB. Now, as an ostrich egg guy, are you okay with this?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's like cracking a regular egg.
Okay, so you're going to have to educate me here. Was this not going to grow into an ostrich one day
if I would have
incubated it?
No.
Properly?
Nope.
Oh, all right. Well, color me stupid then. All right, quick. Let's go to this Alessandro guy. This was a very bizarre scenario. Totally forgot about this guy. Alessandro says that being a father, continuing with this theme, to Emily's daughter would be a compromise for him. Even when she brings it up and they like talk about it, he still disagrees. Now, I'm not even sure he knows what the word means. They say it's not a language barrier.
I was thinking.
It's a language barrier. Yeah, he has no idea what the word means.
They came away both not really understanding what the other was saying. And he said it wasn't a language barrier, but it clearly was.
Had to be. There's no other explanation for it.
He was saying it like he thought what he was saying was a positive thing. And he wasn't picking up that she was getting more and more mad as he continued to explain himself.
I don't buy his Brazilian thing, and I don't buy the fact that he knows what compromise means. Quick, back in the house. Sean, while Alessandro's got this one-on-one time going on, Sean tells the plot thickens with this guy. Sean tells the boys that Alessandro admitted to Emily's friends that he cheated on past girlfriends and had a one-night stand before. And I don't even think Emily ever even found this out. Like, she sends him off while Sean is revealing this news. So this is basically just ABC burying Alessandro deeper than he buried himself. What did you make of Ari and Emily's little special moment between special friends in the hallway?
Wow, she couldn't. Listen, the guy's the top kisser in the game, and you're not going to go one time with them seeing each other without them making out for the rest of the season. Get used to it.
That kind of interaction, it just seemed like, whoa, these two got it going on. They got something special going on.
That's the thing you got to realize when the Bachelorette is having a bad night. She's going to go to the one she likes the most.
Yes.
And she went straight into Ari's arms.
I feel like we saw that with Rachel going into Brian's arms during some bad nights. Yep. So Ari cheers her back up, gives her a hug, big kiss. She was into it. Ryan was disgusted, upset.
Jealous.
Not just jealous, but also like, you know, a real lady wouldn't kiss another guy when she should be with me. He's one of those dudes that thinks he shouldn't have to compete with anyone because he played pro sports, man. What are all these guys out here going along? We'll get into it in next episode, and maybe, I don't know if my notes will cover it this episode, but Ryan seems to think that, like, Ari is a little wuss. I don't think racing an Indy car, you're going 220 miles an hour. Like, that's not some, like, unathletic feat. Like, you got to be a real man to do that. You got to be, number one, you got to be absolutely fearless. Because every time you go out there, you could lose your life. And number two, you're controlling this like 50,000-pound vehicle flying around at 220 miles an hour, navigating through things. That's not easy, Ryan. You couldn't do it. You'd sack a dumb sack of rocks.
Ryan's creeping up into like the Chad territory for me.
Yes.
Chad just Light. A big, dumb idiot.
You got anything with Sean and Emily, a little one-on-one time?
Sean, you know, he's the opposite of – he basically – came with the opposite approach of Alessandro, and it worked like a charm. It was so in tune, like it was so exact opposite of what Alessandro said. It almost makes you think the producers told him exactly what their conversation was, like they're helping Sean along.
Yeah, I think so too. I even wrote that down. I was like, he's definitely benefiting from following Alessandro, being the first guy to talk to her after Alessandro. It was good timing for him, that's for sure. All right, quick, let's do the rose ceremony, which we don't really care about because this happened 5 years ago, and we know who won, and none of the guys who don't get roses are ever surprises. They didn't even build those
up. I thought the rose ceremony was actually kind of funny.
Why is that?
Because there was like 15 people left and only one person didn't get a rose. Never seen a more embarrassing rose ceremony for somebody.
Yeah, that sucks. Especially when there was...
Everybody got a rose.
Everybody got a rose because Alessandra went home. Yep. So it was just... We'll get to it. Chris, Sean, and Ari already have roses from the dates. Only sending one guy home, even though there's like... Now, what was mildly surprising is there's probably six guys I don't know or care about. And Stevie was not one of those six guys. Like, we know who Stevie is just because he's so weird, but there's still a bunch of guys we don't even know about. Like, who's the guy with the long hair?
Don't know.
Can you tell me his name? Exactly.
Nope.
Here are the roses. Jeff, Charlie, Doug, Michael. I have a question mark by his name, so I assume that's the guy with the long hair. Travis, Alejandro, Ryan, John, Kaylin. Absurd rose to give out, but then again, there's only one who's not getting one. She can't put one in her pocket. Nate. Who the fuck is Nate, frankly? Speaking frankly, who is Nate? Stevie got sent home over people who just may have just shown up and no one knows who they are. Like, I don't know some of those guys.
I've never seen a rose ceremony like that where there's that many people getting roses. First of all, why did more people not get let go?
I don't know. Well, because Alessandro got sent home.
I would have thought more than even two would get sent home this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, AB. That was very embarrassing. All right, Stevie, there's like, you're in the bottom 8% here. You're the bottom 8%. We're going to send you home and that's it. Anyway, after the rose ceremony, Ryan is shocked that Ari and Emily were kissing in the house. And here's a quote from him that I wrote down that I thought was pretty funny. Oh, well, this is what I just fucking talked about. Way to steal your own thunder here, Rim. Ari and I, I'll save it by doing a little Ryan impression. Ari and I are very different. He's more of a dainty man. And
dainty?
I'm more of a physical guy. That's what I said. I was like, is he confusing Ari with Jeff? Because Ari's like 6'3" and also a professional athlete.
I don't get it. He's not also. Ryan is not a professional athlete anymore.
Yes.
He's the only professional athlete there.
Racing cars is no joke. Ryan was a practice squad guy, probably for his hometown Falcons. Didn't make the cut. There's a thousand guys like him. Yeah. A little bit.
I don't think he was in the NFL.
Yeah, he was. He was. Really? He was. I think he was, he's on like the Rams or something. He's on some crap team, practice squad. And yeah, he was a nobody. There's 10,000 of these guys running around right now. There's like a couple dozen living people who have raced in Indy 500, which Ari did multiple times. Anybody can play football. It takes a special, special breed to drive an Indy car 220 miles an hour adequately and at the top level.
I hear you.
All right, AB, that's it for this episode. Any other thoughts, expectations for the next episode? This is a fine episode. I think the next one's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm liking the season.
I like the season, too. Doesn't it seem like these guys are, like, even the scumbag? Like, there's a couple scumbags, but the vast majority of them, they just seem like good guys. Yeah. Compared to now, where it's like, everybody's Robbie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
All right. Well, hey, let us know what you think of the season and these episodes. Hit the text line 773-234-7794. Rim, FM radio host, smoothly getting that information to the people, clicking on another tab in Chrome. If you haven't already, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review, which is now easier than ever, AB, in the new buggy as hell iOS 11. Anyway, also, if you don't mind, hey, maybe share this pod with your friends, send them the link in your iMessage or GChat if you don't have an iPhone. Or if you have friends that listen to the show, but they don't care about these episodes, they're like, I'm not going to listen to these because I'm not watching the season. Tell them, listen, you don't have to watch this. I can't imagine all the people who are listening to this episode are also watching the season. There's just no way. And let them know, hey, you know, you don't have to watch Emily's season along with us. Just it's the same thing. Tell them that's an erroneous stance, and it will still be enjoyable for them to listen without watching and to get their act together. That's what I say. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.